Kamenetsky Brothers Land O'Lakers Podcast. Brian Kamenetsky, Andy Kamenetsky, coming to you Sunday evening after the Lakers beat Chicago 90-81 at Staples Center. Not just one game over 500, two games now over 500 for the Lakers, and more importantly, it moves them a half game ahead of the Utah Jazz, who are taking on water quickly, and the Lakers are now the eighth seed in the playoffs. They're a playoff team, Andy. Playoffs!
If the season
playoffs
ended today, and based on the way the Lakers keep starting and restarting,
they might want to lobby for that.
I was going to say, the way that they start and restart the season so constantly, it sounds like they can make that happen if they want to. The Lakers would be in the playoffs.
Which is not something we've been able to say about them for a long time. So that's good news for the Lakers, good news for Lakers fans. We'll certainly talk about that. Going to get into Dwight Howard going back to Orlando. That's Tuesday night. Big deal there. I think a couple people might have, there might be a camera or two in Orlando for that one. Plus, we'll tell you what Meta World Peace is going to do on his day off. Facebook mailbag, we'll open that up later as well. Kobe Bryant question, can he win the MVP? And then whether or not the Lakers need an upgrade at small forward. But we got to talk a little bit about just about how fast the landscape has changed, because a couple weeks ago, you were very cynical about their chances. You were like, no chance. Not quite no chance, but no chance what, adjacent?
No chance adjacent is the way I put
it. I think I maxed
out. They lived in a, I guess, a bad part of a chance. They lived in that part that, you know, you move into. That part just because it's a better school system.
Right.
But the reality is it's not much of a better neighborhood than no chance.
Right. It's like the lean on me school versus like the...
Well, it's like those people who live in kind of cruddy apartments in Beverly Hills because they want to be in that school system.
Or they're in Zuckerman. Right. Zuckerman lies and just says she's going to live with her grandma.
Well, she was in the Valley.
Right.
She lived in the Valley. One assumes that her grandmother lived in Beverlywood.
You escape from the Valley. You do whatever you can to get out of there and out of that school system if it means you get to
exactly.
Beverly Hills
basically
High.
They were living in the Beverlywood version of chance.
You know, I actually think what it is more than anything, it's like, which one is more valuable, Baltic or Mediterranean? On the Monopoly board.
I haven't played that.
Whichever
game in
one
so
like
long.
One is like $60, one is like $70 when you buy it on the board. Neither of them are good properties. They both suck. If you live there, you're living in a crap neighborhood. But one is a little bit better than the other.
Sure.
That's basically where they are.
They weren't necessarily on the wrong side of the tracks. They were living on the tracks,
just on it, waiting for a train.
which, by the way, is not a good.
It's very unsafe.
Not a good area to live.
I think I maxed out their chances at maybe 40% or something like that. I'd have to go back and listen to it. But even that made me a lot more optimistic than you. And I wasn't even 50-50. Over their last 10 games, the Lakers have gained 5 on Utah, 3 on Houston, and 4 on Golden State. They're now a half game ahead of the Jazz, a game behind Houston, and 2 behind Golden State, who they play twice before the end of the season. We've gone from no chance adjacent, Mediterranean, Baltic, whatever they were.
Andrea Zuckerman.
Right. You know, escape from the Valley to they're in the playoffs in like 2 weeks. Amazing.
Well, I did not, if nothing else, I did not count on these other teams, in particular Utah, seeming so disinterested in being part of the playoffs. The Jazz are in a ridiculous free fall at the moment. I mean, and they seem like they've lost all confidence in themselves.
They don't look like they have the starch to pull themselves out, do
no,
they?
No, I mean, their schedule down the stretch is tough, but they look like a team that is just mentally whooped at this point. They look like they're cooked.
Yeah, and you don't really, what they don't have is the intestinal fortitude to do like Andrea Zuckerman did and get yourself out of the Valley and into the good school district, because academically that's where you belong.
It also helped though that in the case of Andrea Zuckerman, you just could have a bunch of people lie for you. You can't lie your way into the playoffs.
And they're
you can't just say, look, I'm an 8 seed.
At least it wasn't like Bayside High on Saved by the Bell, where apparently only like 9 people went to that school anyway. And they really will notice if you're from out of town. It's like, there are only 8 of us and you don't live here. But like the Chicago game, really, of all these wins, it was one of the first encouraging. It's why it's sort of snuck up on people how fast they moved up in the standing, because they could have, should have lost to Atlanta, could have, should have lost to New Orleans, could have, should have lost to Toronto. You know, obviously any one of those losses changes the whole balance of things. And they got whooped by Oklahoma City when they played a good team. So it's hard to go all in yet.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, in terms of how, say, like, okay, could they go from an 8 seed all the way up to a 6 seed?
Which, by the way, they absolutely can.
Well, in theory, it could happen. But to me, the answer to that question is, how well are they going to keep playing moving forward? Is what we saw against Chicago now the template moving forward?
Right.
Because, A, that could determine how high they could rise as far as seeding goes. But also, it could determine whether or not, okay, let's say they're still an 8 seed by the end of it. You know, these other teams get their act together, and they just really can't raise any higher in the standings, particularly because in April, the Lakers' schedule gets pretty tough. You know, they're going to have to capitalize on March, but then April, it gets right. difficult.
After this week in March, where they go to Atlanta, Orlando's going to be an emotional game on a lot of levels.
Indiana,
not a very good team, but Indiana and Atlanta certainly are.
Sure.
You're right. They have some easy games to close out the month, but then April's tough.
But if they keep playing the way they did against Chicago on a regular basis, and by the way, I'm not ready to believe that that's going to happen.
Right, because even Chicago, you look at it and say, okay, well, they didn't have, they're obviously short Derrick Rose. They were also short Kirk Heinrich, which left Nate Robinson as the starting point guard, which is a difficult thing to do and, you know, be good. you know, they were short Taj Gibson. Rip Hamilton didn't play. It's not a team with a lot of firepower.
But they legitimately played well.
They legitimately played
well and intense and focused. If this is the template moving forward, then even if they end up an 8 seed, you could, if nothing else, believe in their prospects of making a series competitive, no matter who they go up against, as opposed to the way they were winning against Toronto or New Orleans. To me, it didn't matter who they played because they were going to get their asses kicked.
Fall behind by 25 and hope right. Kobe is awesome is not exactly a sustainable playoff strategy.
They were winning games, but they didn't look like a credible team in the process. Right.
You can only rely on the other team to line up on the wrong side of the floor once. And San Antonio is certainly not going to do that.
No. Greg Popovich will not fall for the banana in the tailpipe. No. I guarantee that ain't happening.
Yeah, it was really fun. I was actually talking to Darvin Ham, the Lakers assistant coach. Phil Handy, they're the development guy. He said they were astounded by what they saw in that play. But you could tell the Lakers, being a veteran team, as soon as New Orleans lined up in the wrong way, Kobe grabbed Aminu and arm locked him so he couldn't follow him, because Aminu was, I think, the first person to figure out, wait a minute, we're defending the wrong basket. And then as he started to break away, Nash grabbed his jersey too. Crafty veterans those Lakers are.
So that's really the story moving forward, is can they sustain and continue that level of play, that intensity and focus?
And against good teams.
Exactly.
And that this week we'll learn. We'll learn a lot about the Lakers this week and whether or not they have, for the 787th time, turned a corner.
Mm-hmm.
The first place they will be turning is to Orlando.
I see what you did
not
there.
The worst seg in the world.
I see what you
good,
did there.
Not bad. Dwight Howard used to play there. You may remember the last couple seasons. It's been a little rocky. He didn't, you know, are you going to stay? They actually gave it a name, Andy. They called it the Dwightmare.
Which I thought was clever.
I thought so too. But they meant it in a way that said, like, wow, this really sucks. That's what that was supposed to mean. It's been a really interesting week for Dwight, not just because he's going back to Orlando, because in preparation for it, he once again shot himself in the foot. An interview with Christine Leahy on
KCAL 9 and KCBS 2.
Right, in LA. In this case, it was Dwight. He said he played with a bunch of nobodies people didn't want, and he was let him with a smile. Anybody paying with half a brain knew what he meant, but it was still another moment of controversy for Dwight.
I think the media may have been a little willfully ignorant in the way they presented a lot of this.
Yeah. In the same way that we keep wondering, well, why isn't Dwight... commit to L.A., Dwight. Why won't you do that and just shut
that
everybody up?
Pisses me off so much. There are legitimate reasons why Dwight has not absolutely said, I'm going to be a Laker for life. Absolutely, I'm in from here moving out. Give me that extension. I'll sign it right now.
I'll do it for three. Give me the mid-level.
Right. I mean, there are legitimate reasons why he doesn't do this. And anybody thinking about this for more than 10 seconds knows exactly why. And I would like to think that these media members who keep writing about it or talking about it on air questioning it.
And by the way, this is one time where we can take ourselves out of this conversation.
Right, we said are this not, from the beginning.
Quote unquote, air quotes, the media, because no, we have not been on this train.
No, no. We've been saying this from the outset. There are obvious reasons why. I mean, the most obvious being he may not know. He may just not know the answer to that. B, even if he does feel like he would want to end up re-signing, which both of us think in the end he's going to end up doing, he still, why would anybody in his situation with the ability to wait it out, knowing you're going to have other suitors, why would you publicly commit and box yourself in? There's absolutely...
Especially when you've done what you did last, where all you were accused of in Orlando was being Johnny Waffle.
Right.
By the way, the other thing we learned about Dwight Howard, the first place he's going to go back to eat that he loves to eat in around Orlando.
Johnny Waffles?
No, the Waffle House.
Really?
Loves the Waffle House.
You know who else does? Our uncle.
It's true.
Probably fewer people knew that listened to this podcast.
But he used to, he told us his order, and I wish I had written it down, but it was like... 3 apple cinnamon pancakes and like 4 sausage. It was a big meal. It's a big meal.
Is he still actually going to have that after he's cut out his sugar?
No. Now he only eats it at, I believe his quote was, whatever they have at Whole Foods.
Okay. So he's just going to bring that to the Waffle House and eat there?
And they probably let him, although it's really rude. You still have to tip.
Actually, lately, the way Dwight Howard just insulted Orlando or whatever, I don't know if they'll let him in. They'll say, Dwight, you take your healthy food, your macrobiotic pancakes, and you get the hell on out of here.
No shirt, no shoes, no service.
But, I mean, there are obvious reasons that Dwight will not commit that have nothing to do with him.
Right.
For all the talk about how he won't commit, he's given no indication that he's actually out the door.
And if he thinks he might want to stay and he's pretty sure he's going to stay, what if you change your mind?
Exactly.
None of you would commit to it either.
Exactly.
Even you, Mr. Laker fan, who's like, you should recognize the privilege that it is to play for the Lakers and sign
no,
now,
F
whatever.
That. This is his life. He is, I mean, for real.
No, you're right.
Put it this way. Kobe Bryant, in 2004... having already won 3 championships with the Lakers and knowing, like anybody paying attention knew, that if Dr. Buss has to make a decision and knowing that he would have to make one, it was going to be with him. Kobe mulled going over to the Clippers and then in 2007 wanted to leave the Lakers. And that's with the type of history and championships that Kobe had with the Lakers. If he's been on the fence about staying with the Lakers full term, Dwight's supposed to know after like 6 months?
They don't even have a franchise in Pluto. And that's where he was willing to go.
I mean, but
team wouldn't have been good at all.
Right.
I don't know. Travel is brutal.
It really is.
Oh, my God.
Although it's just as difficult for the other teams.
When you have a West Coast swing that starts from Pluto, I mean, that is tough.
Yeah, so are the East Coast ones.
Man.
Oh, the second end of a back-to-back on Pluto.
The worst is when the schedule comes out and you're like, wait a minute, we got a home game here, and then they're going to send us to Sacramento for one night, and we got to turn around and fly back the next day. But anyway, he's...
So that's our soapbox. Being willfully ignorant,
I get the
media.
Impression, or at least in looking at the Orlando thing, I get the impression that he's trying not to let on. I think he knows it's going to be a tough reception there. I think he's... But I get the impression he's a little bit kind of nervous about it, and that getting it over with will be a big thing.
I think you're absolutely right.
Yeah, and you know, Steve Nash talked a little bit about it Sunday afternoon. Obviously, it's not the same thing. He returned and was much better thought of than Dwight is in Orlando. But you don't know what it's going to be until you get there. You have people down there that you want to see. You didn't get a chance to say goodbye to certain people at the arena or whatever it might be. And just not having to worry about it anymore and getting closure. He got closure on the situation. He said it helped him out a lot. Dwight's going to have to get some form of that in Orlando. How do you think he'll play? That to me is like the really interesting question. Kobe was talking about it. He said, you know, if it was me, I'd go out and kill him and so on and so on. But how do you think Dwight will play? Such a pleaser. Going to get booed a ton.
I don't think very well. I think it's going to be extremely difficult for him to play. I wouldn't shock me if he got into early foul trouble because he's been doing that lately anyway. I think he's going to really struggle in this game, just mentally, emotionally. I hope I'm wrong, because it would be nice for him in getting that closure if it came in a positive sense. And ultimately, I guess if the Lakers win, it doesn't really matter. But, you know, I mean, remember, LeBron... the first, like, what, quarter and a half against Cleveland, the first time he came back, he looked pretty rattled. And then then the crowd kind of woke him up, and then he punished the shit out of those people.
Yeah.
I think he's going to struggle.
It's going to be kind of a fascinating. I'm tired of the Dwight goes back to Orlando narrative. I really wish Dwight would just stop giving interviews about it. I mean,
if he's going to give interviews, check out the one that he gave to Sam Amick with USA Today, where he finally, at least the first time I've heard it, if not ever in a long time, took some responsibility for what happened in Orlando and the Dwight mayor and the way he handled.
Right, at the very least, after Tuesday, it's one less thing that he'll have to deal with. He will, as Steve Nash said, and as Dwight has sort of hinted at, get a little bit of closure to that issue.
Clearly.
All right, turning to the Facebook mailbag, Andy. We have a Facebook account. It accepts questions, as they all do. You can comment on it. We call it a mailbag. This week, got some good questions that we want to look at. The most
got some bad ones that we're going to ignore.
Right, and if you wrote the bad ones, shame on you. Kobe Bryant has averaged since the All-Star break, and I don't think these numbers take Sunday's game into consideration, but he was good on Sunday too. 33.7 points, 6.2 rebounds, 6.9 assists. He's shooting 53.9% from the field, 44% from three-point range. He had the miracle comeback. He fueled the miracle comebacks against Atlanta, against New Orleans and Toronto. He's been basically spectacular. Turn back the clock. He's got a new nickname. They call him Vino now, or he calls himself Vino. And he's so good, he can actually give himself a nickname and people will be like, okay, we'll call you that, which almost never happens. Generally speaking, you can't give yourself your own nickname. It won't work. He seems to have done it.
Yeah, I mean, he gave himself Black Mamba, and that took off.
Right. So here's a question from Raymond Eric. Do you think Kobe has any legit MVP consideration if our record, I assume he means the Lakers, is even slightly better?
Well, our record has nothing to do with it.
It's sort of a two-part question, really. If the Lakers' record were better, if they were 10-15 games over 500, he'd obviously be part of the conversation.
Sure.
I don't think he'd be ahead, do you? Maybe.
It would depend on how many injuries they still have. Like if they managed to have 15 games, a 15 game better record, that was phrased poorly. If they managed to be 15 games better while still having all these injuries,
absolutely. Because we vote for three things. The MVP is determined by three things: performance, by the individual, team performance, and narrative.
Yes.
And Kobe doing what he's doing now, obviously the individual performance is good. The team performance hasn't been there, and the narrative is off the charts.
Right.
34 years old, 17 years in the
league. And that's where
I
think Kobe, if the Lakers, you know, A, make the playoffs, B, rise up in the standings, that's where I think Kobe may have a chance at pushing LeBron or pushing Durant, you know, because A, there are going to be some voters who, you know, they'll want to vote for somebody else because they get tired of voting for LeBron. I'm not justifying that mindset.
No,
I'm
but
just
it's
saying
true.
It happens. And B, that is a fantastic narrative. I mean, and writers are often suckers for that. And I'm not saying that Kobe doesn't deserve it. I'm just saying beyond
if they get to the six, you know, with him playing like this and doing all that and have more of those kind of signature moments, it feeds that story
much. Beyond the fact that Kobe will have been the catalyst in making this happen, I think a lot of writers or voters would look at it this way, and I think there's some validity to it, that not just did Kobe push it, but that Kobe's actually maybe the only guy in the league who could have done it the way he did it. That really could have, you know, willed his team the way he did.
Great quote.
That there may be nobody else.
Great quote on that. He talked about it after the Toronto game. And he was asked if whether or not he could keep this up. This being, you know, hey, score 40 points and bail the team out after they fall behind by 25. And he said, quote, hell if I know. I don't know. I know I have a determination that I don't think anybody that I line up against on any given night, I don't think they'll be able to outwill me. I just refuse to believe that. And when you put that with the fact that he'll outwork anybody and he believes that nobody's going to work harder than him, that nobody wants it more, and that nobody will be better prepared, you're right. There isn't anybody with... And I'm not saying that somebody can't equal him in hard work or that he can't be...
No, there are plenty of other guys in the league that work hard.
But the point is, he is probably correct in the idea that nobody will do any of those three things more than him. They're not going to believe in themselves more than Kobe believes in himself. They might get to him. They're not going to prepare more than Kobe does. They're not going to work harder than Kobe does. And, you know, I the thing that worries me a little bit about that, at least until Sunday, was it almost reminds me, like, he was on the floor a couple times in the Toronto game where we asked him after the game. He's like, I was fine. I was just so bleeping tired. I couldn't get up. I just needed to lie down. He couldn't move before Toronto's, you know, in the shoot around before the Toronto game. And Judy Cito, the Lakers physical therapist, kind of like ironed him out to get him to play. He's beating himself up in a huge way. I mean, I think it's pretty apparent, even by Kobe's standards. It almost reminds me of like the first guy who ran the marathon, like back in the day in the Greek times, I think it was, or whatever. And he ran and he ran and he ran and he ran. And he did this incredible feat where that we still talk about today, and it's in the Olympics and whatever. And you know what happened to him at the end of it? When he got there and delivered his message or whatever it was, he died. He keeled over and he died. Wow. And I'm a little worried that the Lakers are doing that to Kobe.
I'm not worried because Kobe's corpse will get up, and that corpse will hit game winners.
Kobe's corpse playing at 75% is still better than most corpses you're going to find.
Absolutely. There's no question.
But I mean, I'm a little concerned about that, that they've had to ride him so hard, or he has decided that he needs to be ridden that way, or whatever it is. Got a little blue there.
He sure did.
Ew. That I have some concerns about exactly what's going to happen in the playoffs when you throw, you know, if it's Oklahoma City, you throw Thabo Sefolosha on him.
Well, look,
or whatever. I realize it's a different conversation than the MVP.
Well,
thing.
First of all, if the answer is what happens when they throw Thabo Sefolosha on him,
true.
It doesn't matter because it means they're playing the Thunder and they're not going to win that series. Right. I'm sorry.
You understand my point. This is a lot more effort than you want Kobe spending.
But this gets back
to get them to the
playoffs.
But this
gets back to what we talked about earlier. If they're playing the way they did against Chicago, then Kobe doesn't have to put out that type of effort because that means the team is playing better.
Correct.
And then it changes.
More balance. But he still has the ball in his hands through most of the fourth quarter.
But it's still, though, it's easier for him.
That's true.
It's easier for him when he can do that scoring 19 points or 22 points versus 40. So if Kobe keeps having to play the way he did against New Orleans or Toronto, really, it doesn't matter if he's spent or not because the team isn't playing well enough that they can go anywhere anyway.
It is a good illustration of why the rest, even if they are playing well, why the rest of the season kind of matters. Like, you can't just say, well, we're playing well now, as if the 60 games that came before aren't going to have an impact on what they do in the playoffs. So that's something to look at. But it is a heck of a narrative. He's going to shoot up the MVP boards. There will be some chatter. I think there will definitely be some chatter heading into the end of the season, if he's still playing.
And it's important to remember, too, because people forget about this all the time. In 06, when Steve Nash won his second MVP and Kobe had the 35-point season, and a lot of people feel like Nash stole that award from Kobe. And you can obviously make a very, very strong argument that Kobe could have won that year. And, you know, the Lakers' 7-seed finish did not help him. But there's some people who feel that it was too close to Colorado, that they didn't like him or whatever. It's important to remember that year, the Lakers being a 7-seed, and if you believe that there were writers who had animosity against Kobe and they were just looking for a reason not to give it to him, that year, Kobe actually got, other than Nash, more first-place votes than anybody. So writers were at least looking, at least some were looking to potentially...
He finished third that year, didn't he? Third or
fourth. Yeah. But there were writers that year who said, you know what? The season he's having right now is exceptional enough that I'll make an exception, and maybe that could happen again if they rise
especially
up.
Especially because he's only got one MVP. He's playing very well. He's still like LeBron. People have to say what LeBron is doing this year is almost. I think it's pretty much. It's almost unprecedented. It's certainly kind of in modern, you know, the modern game, and all that, but. He's going to get some chatter. It's going to be a talking point. It's going to be a talking point, no question. Real quick before we go, we mentioned that the Lakers are headed off to Orlando. I just want to let everybody know, if you happen to be in the area, Meta World Peace said Sunday afternoon that he's planning on going to Disneyland, or Disney World, I should say. Asked what his favorite rides were, he said, quote, the speed one, the tunnel one, and the Simpsons one.
We're not sure exactly what the first two rides are.
At least one of those things doesn't actually exist at Disney World.
And for all we know, all three don't, depending on what he's thinking of.
So if you're going there and you're expecting to see Meta World Peace, you might also want to buy tickets to Universal just to be safe.
Don't ever change Meta.
All right, Andy, anything else?
Nope.
All right, thanks everybody for tuning in. We'll see you the next time we do this.
See ya.
All right.